Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Freedom Report podcast. I am your host, Austin Peterson, here with this special, the lovely, the talented Laura Myers. Laura, welcome back.
That was very authoritarian of you. I am Austin Peterson.
I am Austin Peterson, motherfucker. And this is Ryan Carrillo. Ryan Carrillo from Canada.
Hello, everyone.
Hello, hello, hello. That's a racist. That's a racist to have a Mexican accent with a Canadian. A boot? What's it all about? Ladies and gentlemen, today is Friday. We're very excited because as soon as we get our work done, which we're going to get done by noon, I'm taking the kids on a field trip to George Washington's house. We're going to go see Mount Vernon today. Woohoo! It's going to be fun.
America!
I'm very excited because yesterday I bought an awesome M4 battle rifle, which I am really excited to build when it comes in. I'm going to have a new gun. And then you guys are actually going to see it because I'm going to be filming some gun videos when I get back to Missouri. I'm moving back to Missouri at the end of the month, the Show Me State. And we're going to be doing all kinds of cool new stuff out there. We're going to have a little bit more of a libertarian Republican kind of a republic. We're going to have an interesting new set of content that's coming out for you guys, so I hope you'll check that out. Before we get the podcast started today, we're going to be answering our viewers' questions, our viewer mail, or listener mail, excuse me. We're not a TV show yet. We're going to do a little advertisement. First ad first, which is, of course, subscribe to us on iTunes. If you don't have an Apple device, you can find us on Stitcher, stitcher.com. And if you do have an Apple device and you love us, do us a favor. Leave us a 5-star review. A little written review there on iTunes is going to help us spread the message. I think we are probably the most listened to podcast, libertarian podcast, that there is. I mean, some people are like, oh, Stefan Molyneux, but like, now, like, our shows are getting, like, 100,000 downloads each. Like one of our shows last week had, like, 500,000 downloads, which is unbelievable. Madison Square Garden fits 18,000 people. So, I mean, imagine getting in front of a crowd of 500,000 people to give a speech. I mean, nope. Bernie Sanders only gave a speech to 10,000.
Yeah. And he didn't even brush his hair.
Exactly. Well, I didn't either this morning, but it doesn't matter because you can't see me. Anyway, so moving on, the next ad. Do you hate the advertisements on the Libertarian Republic? You know, I know everybody hates these ads, but this is how we get paid because Laura, we gotta give Laura some money, and Ryan over here is unpaid. Yeah, Laura needs to eat, and Ryan doesn't make any money off the Libertarian Republic, and I want to give this guy a job. So here's how you can help me give these people jobs. Go to thelibertarianrepublic.com, sign up for a free membership, and then upgrade your membership. Subscribe. You can subscribe for $5 a month. That ain't bad. And then you'll get an ad-free version of the website. And if you want, you can subscribe for a year. It's $55 for the year, and that's a $5 discount. Of course, you get 1 month free for that. So doing that will help us to build the next generation of libertarian content, and we appreciate that. Also, today I want to ask you to go to Amazon.com and get a copy of the book Hannah's Voice by Rob Grindstaff. That's R-O-B-B, Rob Grindstaff. And he's got a great new book out about this young girl. It's a novel. Fictional novel about a girl who stops speaking, and it sends the world into chaos because everybody wants to figure out the mystery of why Hannah has stopped speaking. And there's anarchist groups, and there's fundamentalists, and there's an FBI investigation. There's all this chaos. So if you guys are really interested in finding a good novel for summer reading, get Hannah's Voice by Rob Grindstaff. Rob, thank you for sponsoring our show, and good luck on your book sales, buddy. We hope that you sold a million billion because you definitely got your ad out to a million people this month. Don't forget, you can find that on Amazon, many other fine booksellers. All right, back to the show. All right, we're going to be answering the viewer mail. This is where the sputum, the bile of the internet comes out. We got some interesting questions, though. I thought there were some good ones.
There's some good ones, yeah.
So our first question comes from Jim E. Rustler. Jimmy Rustler. What do you say? Say something, Laura. That face means you want to say something.
I want to read it.
Okay, read it out loud, Laura.
Okay. All right, go ahead. If a female tree falls in the forest, but no one is around to hear it, who raped it?
Oh!
And then this is terrible. This is so bad. Okay. The first response comment to that question was by Richard Sloboda.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, well, first of all, if the female tree had lower hanging leaves, she wouldn't have been raped in the first place.
Ooh, lordy. Oh. So obviously this is not a serious question. Next question. You want to read that, Laura?
If man-caused climate change were real, And as described by the political left, would government intervention be needed, or could the free market solve it in some way?
Didn't you say you had an answer for this, Laura?
Yeah, there's a group actually called CFACT. And let me read you their mission statement real quick. So CFACT stands for Committee for a Constructive Tomorrow. And I actually heard about this from someone from the Leadership Institute. There are college campus groups that are CFACT groups. And what they do is they... their mission statement says, the power of the free market combined with the applications of safe technologies can offer humanity practical solutions to many of the world's pressing concerns. And so basically what they are is like a group, a think tank that promotes free market enterprises for combating like environmental problems. So I think yes, I think the free market definitely has an answer.
The free market solved the problems of vaccines. The problem, mm-hmm. The free market solved all kinds of problems for humanity. You know, the free market solved all sorts of problems. Why could it not solve this one? What do you think, Ryan?
Absolutely, the free market would be able to solve this problem because it's in everyone's business. If climate change were real, then it would be in everyone's business interests to solve it.
Dying would not be a part of my agenda, that's for sure. And I would donate to such a cause. I don't need to be forced or coerced to save my own life. And, you know, that's kind of the basis, the fundamental argument for government. It sort of destroys the fundamental argument for government here because if you think about it, why do we say we need police? Why do we say we need fires? Why do we fire protection and stuff? I'm making the anarchist argument here. But think of it this way. So the one example that I like to use when I say I'm a minarchist rather than anarchist is to say, who will build the asteroid defense missile defense systems? Meaning that there are some functions for which there really is no market function, right? So there's never going to be a need to buy asteroid defense insurance, right? So yeah. I don't think that there's a market for building a missile that could destroy an asteroid headed towards Earth, right? But in terms of global warming, if you look at that as a disaster situation, the liberals might say, well, here's an example of something to which there is no marketplace for. There's no market need to go out and buy climate change insurance. However, if you look at common sense government regulations in terms of pollution, for example, probably like if you're going to be a statist at all and you're going to make an argument for something like this, you might say, well, look at in Los Angeles, they've actually been successful in not taxing pollution, but in requiring carburetors to be installed in cars, requiring there to be limiters on pollution. Or if you have a pollution-causing car, you know, you have to pay a little bit more because you're actually spewing chemicals into the environment. And so there is an argument there in terms of pollution, causing pollution, but the arguments for climate change, they're a little bit less based in solid science. And so we've got to be very careful. I think we should be skeptical of some of these claims, because, of course, in the 1970s, they said we're all going to die from an ice age, right?
Yeah.
And so nowadays, let's not run around like we're all going to, you know, like there's an asteroid coming unless there actually is one. Did you want to say something, Laura?
I took an environmental science class last year, and the professor, he says... You know, and I was surprised because I thought it was going to be some leftist who was just spewing ideology, but he was actually very cool, and he was like, you know, in the 1960s it was global cooling, and then it was global warming, and now it's climate change. Of course, it's a PR campaign.
Well, remember, like, you know, all the when the Soviet Union fell, all the communists needed something to get behind. All right, moving on. Next question, Laura.
By Kurt Stubb. Stube? I have no Stube. Idea. I'm sorry.
Hold on. What did he say here? Kurt Stube.
Stella.
Okay. Muslim women want to cover their faces during citizenship ceremonies in Canada.
Well, let's have our Canadian guy step in. Ryan, what do you think about Muslim women covering their faces during the citizenship ceremony?
I don't like it. Yeah. I say no to that.
Racist.
It's because if you're joining our society, mm-hmm. we need to be able to identify who you are.
Okay.
So that's my. My problem with it.
But don't they have to have like an ID and all that kind of stuff? They're identifying themselves. Why can't they wear their burqas?
Because it might not be the same person who's they might be hiding their face. And like with the driver's license, they do have to take off their burqas for the driver's license picture.
But it's a citizenship test. I mean, or it's not a citizenship test. It's what is it? The ceremonies.
A ceremony.
It's just a ceremony. Like, why do you care? I'm gonna disagree with Ryan Carillo.
I think
I disagree also.
Yeah.
I think it has to do with.
Conservative son of a bitch.
It has to do with it, you're pledging allegiance to a new society.
So
we should be able to see who you are. Who are you?
It's just
you
a
get
ceremony.
To see their eyes.
Yeah,
in
you
the
can
eyes.
See their eyes. Right. Like,
they always put
care?
Makeup on their eyes.
You
so.
Just don't like Muslims. I don't either. But it doesn't mean that I think that they shouldn't be free to practice their witchcraft or their religion. I'm sorry. Moving on. I just offended everyone. Or not everyone. Probably made conservatives happy. Justin Grell, go ahead. Laura.
What is the best way to win over a lady I have been crushing on since middle school? Oh, master.
Okay, so he's asking me, but Laura. Why don't you start?
Stop crushing on her. I bet you.
Elaborate.
She sees your Facebook likes.
Oh, no.
She gets your creepy shit. And she's like, damn it, Justin, leave me alone. So I would
stop
just.
Stop liking every selfie.
Stop being the liker. You're her default liker because we all have those. You upload a selfie, you do anything on Facebook, and they're default likers. These fan guys.
Any post you make, always comments, instantly making comments, agreeing with the person.
Who do we know who does that? So moving on to
I think we all three do that actually.
Right. Well, like, you know what you can do? Like, take some sexy selfies of yourself and post them up because you know she's probably going to see them if your friend's on Facebook. And maybe, and like, if you're looking hot, take pictures of you with other girls. Like, you know, like, go out on dates with other girls. Or, like, you know what? Ask her best friend out on a date. That is going to definitely be like, that is going to get her attention.
I've definitely done the pictures with guys on Facebook before.
That works, you know, you're going to make her jealous.
It does.
Yeah, you know, in opening with a girl, like, okay, you crushed her on her since middle school, so I'm assuming she knows who you are. You know what? Go out and win the spelling bee. I don't know. Like, do something amazing. You know what I mean? Here's the thing. Like, it's not about her. It's about you. You need to make you awesome. You need to do you. You be awesome and be you. And here's the thing. If you accomplish something amazing, then you can be like, oh, fuck yeah, I'm awesome. And then she's going to be like, whoa, who's this guy who's really cool who does all this stuff? And you're like, yeah, I got like 10 trophies from wrestling. You know, something like that. It's... You just can't make anybody feel anything towards you by sort of actively trying to court them. It just doesn't work like that. You know, this isn't in the 1950s anymore. We can, like, bring them a flower and show up wearing, like, a corsage and, like, you know, a white suit and think that she's going to like you. No. In fact, the opposite is true. You know, the more you ignore her, the more you deny that you're interested in her or that you even that you think she's attractive, she's going to be more attracted to you. As a matter of fact, if you tell her, you know what a really great way to get her attention is? Tell her something's wrong with her. Like something like if she has food on her face or like, you know, that's a really good one actually. Is that one's like slightly, that's only like mildly offensive. Just like do the thing where you like scratch the edge of your face where it's like you got something on your face and that'll make her really self-conscious. And she'll be like, oh, what's wrong with me? And she'll get all self-conscious and you'll be like, yeah, you better go to the bathroom and like get that off your face. Laura's flipping me off right now. But that's a great way to get a girl to like you because she'll be like, oh no, why doesn't he like me? I'm the most amazing person in the world to me. I have to prove to him that I'm the most amazing person in the world. Then she'll go out of her way to try and get your attention and make you like her. Especially if you're like a pimp. You know what I mean? Like being cool.
That works with guys though too.
Okay.
The reverse.
So?
I'm disagreeing with you.
Okay.
I'm saying like that works and it also works with guys.
Well, good. Good. Moving on.
You can't.
More serious matters, please.
You can't suffocate people.
Okay. Next one, Laura.
Caleb Alexander Franz.
Who's an awesome,
France?
Kid, by the way.
France.
I know him. Franz. He's German.
Pardon. Oh, German. Fuck. Okay.
Yeah. Super.
Would you like to see a Paul versus Sanders face-off next year?
Sure, why not? Who cares? Why not? Yeah, fuck yeah, why not? This would be fun, you know? We'll have crazy versus crazy. I mean, Rand's my kind of crazy, but Bernie's is obviously the opposite kind of crazy. I don't know. I mean, sure, you know, who would I like to see on the Democrat side? You want to see who? Jim Webb? Martin O'Malley.
I want to see Hillary Clinton.
Really? Oh, no. I think Hillary Clinton will win. That's the problem.
You think she would?
Oh, I think absolutely. Yeah, I think she would win. Absolutely. I think that people are just dumb enough.
Oh, I think Martin O'Malley could win before
no
Hillary
way.
Clinton.
No way. He's too moderate. You got
That's the thing. Yeah. He's nice. He's friendly.
Yeah.
And all of these like intellectuals are like, I'm an independent.
I would like to see a Rand Paul versus Bernie Sanders debate simply for the fact that it would be a debate about ideas. But America isn't ready for that. They're ready for Donald Trump.
Which is pretty sad.
It is
pretty sad.
Yep. It is very sad. That's the state of America right now. They want a racist, pseudo-capitalist. Like, and let me just go on a rant here for a moment. Listen, you asshole conservatives. Donald Trump is not some free market capitalist, okay? This is a guy who wants to ban imported goods in China for everybody but himself. He's got clothing lines and mattress lines, and all this stuff is manufactured overseas. So don't fall for his BS rhetoric about protectionism, because he wants protectionism for everybody but himself, okay? So that's BS. All right. Moving on, Laura.
Mm-hmm. Keith Whitworth wants to know, do you even lift, bro?
I do. I try and lift 3 times a week. I always do at least 2 times a week. I do karate 3 days a week, sometimes only 2 times a week. So I work out at least 4 days a week. 2 days karate, 2 days weightlifting. And on my best weeks, I'm doing 3 days karate, 3 days weightlifting, and 1 day off. What about you, Ryan? Do you lift?
Yep, I go to the gym about twice a week.
Twice a week. What about you, Laura?
Yes, I love to work out.
She loves to work out.
I'm a runner, though.
She's a runner.
I don't like to.
Yeah. I hate running.
Yeah, me too. Okay, next question.
I'm a girl.
Yeah, all right. Moving on.
Eric Albin, what's your favorite Ron Swanson moment?
God, that is a tough one. I don't know if you guys know much about Ron Swanson. He's my hero. I mean, probably when he does his pyramid of greatness, and he explains to kids, like, you know, capitalism.
Don't be a pussy.
Right. Capitalism determines who is smart and who is poor. And I love it. I also love it when he teaches the little girl about why government is important and it's not, you know. What's yours?
I have two, and I pulled them up just for this answer because I love him so much. So I have a quote, and he's at the restaurant, and it's after, I can't remember what happened earlier in the episode, but he wants to prove, like, how awesome capitalism is. And the quote is, "I call this turf and turf. It's a 16-ounce T-bone and a 24-ounce porterhouse. Also, whiskey and a cigar. I'm going to consume all of this at the same time because I'm a free American."
Ryan, do you have any Ron Swanson moments you like?
I don't really know Ron Swanson that well, but I do know this one thing. And since I'm from Canada, I'm going to put a little Canadian spin on it. It was this one joke. I don't remember exactly how it went, but a woman asked him if he wanted to move to Canada with her. And all he did was just started laughing.
his like...
Yeah, exactly.
His little giggle.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, "Well, y'all don't suppose you want to move to Canada?" He started laughing.
What does he say? He says, "I would rather." He said something.
Ron Swanson. Let's see if we can find it. Ron Swanson.
In the meantime, I have another good moment.
Okay, well, yeah, go ahead.
So it's the Parks and Rec barbecue that was given to him.
Uh-huh.
It's his responsibility, and the police officer shows up because he's trying to slaughter a pig in the middle of the park. Yes. for the barbecue, and he goes, "Not to worry, I have a permit." And the police officer opens up the permit. It's a folded piece of 8x11 paper, and it says simply, "I can do what I want." Ron.
I actually love that, and like I remember watching that for the first time and thinking that was great. Like the paper was great, but it would have been even better if it was like a constitution
or like on parchment paper. Yeah,
yeah,
like written with in a like feather
yeah
pen.
Like John Hancock style or something like that. Okay, here's Ron Swanson on Canada. I don't know if they'll be able to hear it through the microphone, but we'll be able to explain it at least.
"I'm sorry to see you go. I've really come to think of you as a companion.
Hey, I don't suppose you'd want to move to Canada."
"Canada? No. I don't suppose I would."
"I don't suppose you want to move to Canada." "No, I don't suppose I would." Not that there's anything wrong with Canada. We like to tease Canada. I think South Park kind of started that craze. But all right, moving on. I've got a lot of questions.
Nathan J. Loffer.
Okay.
"Are you even pro-life in the case of rape and incest? Do you believe life begins at conception? If not, when does it? If so, what do you believe should be done with frozen embryos that aren't used?"
So my belief on abortion is primarily a moral argument. I do have some utilitarian beliefs in terms of abortion. I think you can't just have a black or white position on abortion. I mean, you can, but I think it's illogical. So am I pro-life in the cases of rape and incest? Yes, I am. And the reason is because you don't force someone else to pay the price of someone else's mistakes. And because I do believe that the child is a child, that the baby is a human being, I believe that humans have a right to life. And so when it comes to rape or incest, yeah, I do think that the child has a right to life. Do I believe that life begins at conception? Probably, yeah. As soon as it's a separate DNA strand that is, you know, a human DNA, I think it is. It is most likely life begins at conception. In terms of utilitarian beliefs, I realize that, you know, in order for me to enforce this philosophy of what I believe, it would require a government of totalitarian powers, of which I would have a problem morally with supporting. So there have to be some checks and balances. Am I for a ban on partial birth abortions? Absolutely, and that should be enforced. But in terms of like abortion pills and things like that, or like RU46 or whatever is the drug that they can take or something like that, I'm fine with that. You know, that involves like basically forced miscarriage in a sense. I'm not fine with it, but I realize that like it's low on my priority list for the maintenance of liberty. Although I do think that we ought to find new ways to solve these problems, like, oh, I don't know, wearing a fucking condom, you know, like using birth control. Stop telling your kids, you know, that, you know, stop, teach kids abstinence, right? But also teach them to use birth control, okay? And stop stigmatizing sex, and stop stigmatizing premarital sex, right? Laura.
And I have a huge problem when the church stigmatizes young women getting pregnant before they're married. I mean, my friends and I...
encouraging abortion at that point.
Exactly. My friends and I talked about this. If I were to have gotten pregnant or to get pregnant, God forbid, I would not feel comfortable going into a church. And that is a problem. That's a problem that I wouldn't feel comfortable going into a church of a group of people that's supposed to be forgiving and encourages pro-life. I want every single person that's pro-life to... you know, welcome pregnant women out of wedlock, pregnant women with open arms, because then you are encouraging.
What would Jesus do?
You're encouraging abortion, and that's terrible.
Ryan, cases of abortion, incest, and rape.
I would say I'm okay with abortion in cases of incest and rape, because my belief is that it's not really a human until it's developed a certain amount. That's what I believe. So I'm thinking, what makes a person, right? It's their brain. It's your consciousness. So I think when that isn't developed yet, I don't think that it's a person yet.
Good to know. All right, we can disagree without being disagreeable. All right, moving on, Laura.
Mike Fenn asks, do you feel that being a libertarian requires a basic belief that people, if given the right opportunity, will make the correct decision?
Say it again.
Right. So, do you feel that being a libertarian requires a basic belief that people, if given the right opportunity, will make the right decision? So...
Yeah, I do. But also that if they make a wrong decision, then they have to pay the price of it, right? So that it's localizing... You're localizing the stupidity, right? So if there is a bad decision being made... Like somebody is a smoker, for example, then they have to pay for their own health care, you know, or they go rock climbing, for example, then they have to pay for that. So do I think people will make good decisions? Yeah, I think they will, but I think they'll also make bad decisions. And the idea is that, you know, you sort of localize the suffering of bad decisions. What do you think, Ryan?
I agree with that. Yeah, definitely believe that for the most part, people are going to make the right decision when given the opportunity. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like the invisible hand of the market. People are trying to do what's best for them, but as a side effect, they add to the social order and improve society, because everyone is trying to work for themselves, but on the side, it all happens to be what's best for everyone else at the same time.
All right, moving on, Laura.
James Pickett. Should people be allowed to carry a weapon while out drinking alcohol?
What do you think?
Yes.
Okay, Ryan?
I don't know.
Canadian.
We're not allowed to carry guns.
You're not allowed to carry guns. You're not allowed to carry pepper spray.
No, we can't even carry pepper spray. Mm-hmm. We can, even self-defense is iffy. If you injure someone when you're defending yourself, you might get charged. Mm-hmm. People do a lot of stupid things when they're drunk. So,
should people be allowed to carry a weapon while out drinking alcohol? Yes, they should be allowed. Should people carry a weapon I'm thinking a firearm while they're out drinking alcohol. Maybe not.
Maybe not a good idea to do it, but should they be allowed?
Allowed, absolutely. Obviously. Well,
and remember, weapon is a generic term.
Right.
A weapon could be pepper spray. A weapon could be a knife.
If I'm out drinking, I definitely want to have, you know, some form of pepper spray or knife, because I'm probably going to be in a situation where there's a chance that I might feel threatened.
Right.
And I want to have something to be able to defend myself with.
Right. Let's go, and let's assume that he meant gun.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say the answer is yes. And here's why. Because I love to drink. I'm not an alcoholic, but I do like to drink. I probably have a drink every single day. Probably at least one every single day, sometimes two. And when I go out to party, I'll have maybe five or six. But I never get drunk. I never get, like, blitzed, plastered. I never get so bad that if I waited an hour at the end of the party, that I wouldn't be able to be sober by that point. I that's just me, because I like to drink, but I just never do it in excess. You know what I mean? Anything that I do, I never like to do in excess, because you pay for it the next day, of course, in the hangover. And I like to be in control. And I have a weird, like, daddy complex, I think, because when I'm with friends and stuff like that, and they're all drinking and shit like that, I kind of feel, I get the eagle eye, and I'm like, I'm watching out for my group, you know what I mean? It must be some, like, alpha male thing that, or something, where it's like, you know, the leader of the pack, where you gotta, like, watch out for your little wolflings and stuff. And so when I'm in that situation, I should be able to carry a gun, because even though I've had five or six beers, I am a very careful individual, and I would never, ever do something to put anybody in any danger unless I had to try and save their lives. Now, here's the reason why I think that means that everybody should be able to carry a gun. We're like, well, you're responsible, doesn't mean everybody else is. But that's the point. The thing is that you cannot restrict the rights of the smart people because of the stupid people.
It's a case by case self-responsibility.
That's correct. You know, like, maybe the argument is, mm-hmm. if I, you know, got drunk and committed a crime, you know, or something like that with a gun, and I, you know, at a bar, I started a bar fight and stuff like that and pulled a gun, maybe there would be an argument for taking away my right to carry a gun while I was drinking. But I simply believe that you cannot take away the rights of good people to, you know, because of some bad people. All right, moving on.
Jerome Alexander Longoria wants to know if you take interns.
I do. And Laura, why don't you tell us about your illustrious internship experience this summer?
Yeah, so I've had the best summer ever. Not brown nosing. Mm-hmm. DC has been awesome. I've learned a ton. Have a whole book of Creepertarians now. Mm. But I like to be objectified, right? So that's okay. No, and yeah, I've made a ton of connections. Austin is awesome. And I'm excited to see what the future holds. And, I mean, Jerome, you have to be a pretty BAMF to get an internship here.
It's true, actually. So. You do have to be pretty BAMF. No, it's honestly true. Like, I get a lot of people asking for internships and all that kind of stuff. And if they suck, then I just ignore them. So if you're a BAMF, send me your resume and your bio. I'm actually looking for somebody this fall. So if you want to, you know, hook it up, let's make it happen. I'm going to be in Missouri. But you could possibly do a remote internship and, you know, maybe we could tear it up. All right, moving on.
Rich Heigelman? Hilgman? I'm sorry, guys. Anyways, what do you think about all the rank-and-file Republicans and state legislatures moving towards a more libertarian view on marriage? Would you support state-run civil unions that would allow anyone to be contractually bound to another person for monetary policy? How would the federal government deal with the lost revenue from inheritance and death taxes once people figure out that they can be civilly united to anyone, including family members?
Okay, so first of all, let's get our terminology correct. So monetary policy and fiscal policy are two different things. Fiscal policy is about taxes and spending, and monetary policy is about inflation and the growth of the money supply. So you're really talking about fiscal policy here. But let me answer the first question first. What do you think about all the rank-and-file Republicans and state legislators moving towards a more libertarian view on marriage? The only reason that they're doing this is because they got their asses kicked. And all of these bigoted Republicans who have hated faggots for years and years just got their asses kicked in the culture wars, and now they're all libertarians.
I knew this was coming.
Oh, yeah, now we all want the government out of marriage. Now we sound like libertarian, you assholes. You wasted the last 20 years of good politics. politicking that could have been done, that could have been advancing free markets. Instead, we've been fighting faggotry. Now, listen, listen, assholes. I am so sick and tired of these stupid racist redneck Republicans running the show. I am ready for a movement of bright, not progressive, but just tolerant Republicans to take up the fight for free markets. That is what we should be talking about. That's what the Tea Party was started. Why do you think the Tea Party is dead? Why do you think they're done? You know why? Because it became about hating on immigrants and fighting for against gay marriage. You know? So what do I think? I think they're all a bunch of assholes. And I'm glad they're finally libertarians.
And I've had an experience, a similar experience with the Tea Party member. There is a Tea Party group in Manhattan, where I'm from.
Manhattan, Kansas.
In the middle of, yeah, Manhattan, Kansas, the middle of Manhattan, right? And so I'm the chair of College Republicans there on campus, and we get these Tea Party members that come in there, these fag-hating, not tolerant.
By the way, we love fags. Just
as yes, we do. But I'm just saying that's what they would say.
Yeah.
So they come into these meetings, and so I'm a girl, and they've actually said really sexist things to me, and I am obviously the last person to cry sexism.
Right.
But they come in there, and they won't respect my authority, and I actually had to put my fist down with a couple of these old white men with neck beards and tell them that they need to shut their mouths when they're at meetings, because they come in there with their TPNN, their TP News, Tea Party News Network, you know, propaganda, and they're like, the world's burning to the ground. Obama's the Antichrist. Scare members off, and it pisses me off.
You want to say something, Ryan?
You know, we've in Canada, we've had gay marriage legalized since 2005, and the world has not ended.
For 10 years. Sodom and Gomorrah. What do we support? State-owned civil unions. I say no, and the reason why is because I want the government out of marriage. Does anybody here support a state union, Ryan? Should the government be in marriage?
No government in marriage.
No, okay. How would the federal government deal with the lost revenue from inheritance and death taxes once people figure out they can be civilly united to anyone, including family members? They would cut the budgets, cut spending, slash it, slash it, slash it, slash
That's
it.
Another Ron Swanson
That's
moment.
That's another Ron Swanson moment, yeah. All right. Lily Sykes, who Laura thought that I was just going to do this because she's a pretty girl. She's like, Austin, would you do this for a boy? If she wasn't a pretty girl, would you do this? And I was like, absolutely, if they were my friend and it was for a good cause, etc., etc. But Lily Sykes asks if I would give her marathon fundraising page for Misericordia a shout out. Now, I can't obviously be like, hey, this is a URL and visit this URL, but it's at this website called firstgiving.com. And Misericordia, they offer a community of care that maximizes for potential for persons with developmental disabilities, many of whom are also physically challenged. It gives them a residence options on their Chicago campus with gives them job programs. And there's more than 600 children and adults. And 20% of the residents come from poverty families, or they have no families in their wards of the state. So it can provide high standard of care without donations from private funders. It cannot provide the high standard of care without donations from private funders. So if you guys are libertarians looking for a charity, check out my friend Lily Sykes, and her last name is spelled S-I-K-E-S. Look her up, Lily Sykes, and it's a marathon that she's having right now. And if you could contribute anything, $1, $2, $5, $10, $100, please give to this very worthy cause. All right.
Good for you.
Moving on.
Yeah. Nathan J. Laufer.
Laufer.
Will you be open to officially joining Rand's campaign team?
Hell no. I'm moving to Missouri to get the hell away from politics. No. I wouldn't. They wouldn't take me. They wouldn't take me anywhere. They wouldn't touch me with a 10-foot pole. You realize how controversial I am? The crap I say on a daily basis? First thing that I say is, I love being white. And then I turn around and then I say something like you stupid racist Republicans. Well, one, to piss off the progressive police, and second, to piss off the actual racists. So there's no way that Rand Paul was ever having me on his campaign. He's a conservative Republican, conservatarian, I'll give him that. And they would never ask. I mean, I know all those people on the team, and they are those straight-up America-loving, you know, clean-as-a-whistle conservatives that are all on his campaign and team. And that's what they want, and that's fine. I mean, look at his wife, you know what I mean? Like, that's the epitome of what they want. Like, I'm a little rough around the edges, guys. Like, I may look, like, clean-cut on TV, but Laura and Ryan are looking at me right now. Like, this boy is this little rough around the edges, we'll say. So no, I'm not really open to it because, one, I know they wouldn't ask. Two, I'm doing good. I like working for myself, and I can say whatever I want. You know what I mean? Like, I can do what I want. I can say fuck, shit, piss, motherfucker, pussy, cock, sucker.
All right, next question.
We're going to have to put the explicit label on this one.
Okay.
Go on.
Jessica Danton wants to know, how do you sleep knowing jet fuel can't melt steel beams?
First of all, she spelled it S-T-A-L, like steal it, which is hilarious. But I think she probably did that on purpose because she's one of my favorite trolls. Jessica, I sleep perfectly well knowing that jet fuel can't melt steel beams because George Bush did 9/11. What do I say to that? I mean, like, I tried my best for a joke. Sorry, Jessica. Moving on.
Jimmy Bilello,
mm-hmm.
Would you ever run for any government position?
I've said I would not in the past. I've changed my mind. I'm declaring my candidacy
2016
for mayor of Peculiar, Missouri in 2016. So I hope you will support my campaign, and I will rule with an iron fist.
When you're campaigning, you need to wear, like, a tuxedo with a clock watch thing, the old timey
pocket watch.
Thank you, yeah. And like a little Pomeranian dog, and wear like a top hat,
and carry it,
yes,
with like the penguin, basically the penguin,
right?
A pimp cane,
yes.
And
so I changed my mind, and so if I do win election to mayor, then after that I will consider a run for the presidency, but only if like I manage to turn Peculiar Missouri into a libertarian utopia. Which it sort of is already right now, so I don't have to do anything, which is great. All right, moving on.
Dave Johnson wants to know, what are your thoughts on giving Puerto Rico statehood?
I actually did a little research on this one this morning and read a little bit about the problem with Puerto Rico. It looks like their politics are mostly progressive, that they have a very, very large progressive movement there. So no, hell no. No.
We don't need another one of them.
No. No, absolutely not. I don't support giving voting rights to people who want to take away my natural rights. How does that sound? You like that? You have no right to vote to take away my First Amendment right, my Second Amendment right. There's no right to vote, okay? You have voting as a privilege. And if the people of Puerto Rico ever decide that they don't want to be status, fine. Bring them into the union because then they can vote for the politics that I like. So yeah, I only support people voting for the things that I think they should be voting for. What about you, Laura?
I don't know enough on the issue to have an opinion about it. I do know
me neither.
I do know I have a friend who is part of the like College Republicans chapter in Puerto Rico,
mm-hmm.
and he's very pro statehood.
Mm-hmm.
So
let me just do the next question here, because you know I don't want Laura to say base lure when she
you skipped
this.
A question.
Did we? Well, okay, we'll skip it. We'll come back to that question, okay?
I wasn't going to say bass.
Yes, you were. Gary Kenneth Grasser asks, what's your favorite bass lure? And I really appreciate that question because I'm excited to get back to Missouri so I can do some bass fishing. I love bass fishing. It's my favorite kind of fishing. And my favorite lure was and always will be a rattle trap. The rattle trap is the best bass lure there is. It's a beautiful, shiny little lure that shakes underwater. So it's like... It makes beautiful noise underneath the water. And I'll tell you what, I've caught so many 6 and 7 pounders black bass with a rattle trap. You know, you take it on the edge of a point, like if you're on a lake and you get a rattle trap and there's like a rock ledge that like comes out, you know, and throw that rattle trap right on the edge of the outcropping of any rocks, you know, because what will happen to the bass will want to catch the bugs that fall off the rocks. So you throw a rattle trap over there and the bass thinks that the rattle trap is a bug that fell into the water, so they're going to hit that right away. So get yourself a good rattle trap if you want to go bass fishing. Oh, and call me up. I'll be in Missouri. Peculiar, look me up.
Austin just geeked out about fishing.
Yeah, I love fishing.
Did you have a license for that?
Yes, you have to have a license to fish, even as a child. Go ahead.
Jim E. Russler.
Second question for him.
If Hillary is elected and we get our liberal utopia that you and I used to fantasize about late at night on the phone, will white people finally just move to Somalia? I just wanted to read that.
Late at night on the phone. Okay. I don't know what to say about that, but it's funny. And
next.
Yeah, next.
Okay. Joe Burke asks, do you believe Rand's proposed 14.5% flat tax plan could realistically be implemented and balance the budget given our current fiscal situation and obligations? What do you feel is most the most just way for the government to generate revenue to not.
So do I think that his plan could realistically be implemented? Probably not, only simply for electoral reasons. The only way that that could be implemented is if there was some enormous Democratic groundswell that I just don't see happening for libertarians, where what would have to happen is that you would have to have an enormous sweep of the House. We already have the Republican Senate and House controlled, but it's like it's slight majorities. You would need an overwhelming majority in the Senate. You would need an overwhelming majority in the House. You would need Rand Paul to win the election versus like Hillary Clinton in a landslide. Or if it was Bernie Sanders, it would have to be a landslide. Showing that that would show the Congress, the House of Representatives, and that there really was a desire for this kind of a reform. You couldn't have this. Here's the thing. Barack Obama passed Obamacare, slammed it through Congress without a single vote from Republicans. And that was, to me, this is just authoritarian, the way that was done. And it showed that there was absolutely zero support from it on the other side of the aisle. If you go and you pass legislation, it really does need to be bipartisan. So in this instance, if there was like a sweep of the House and Senate and the presidency, then I think something like that could happen. It's a revolution, you have to understand. To overturn our tax system such as it is, that would be a revolutionary change. So do I think it realistically could be implemented? Implemented after that kind of a revolution were to occur. Given our current fiscal situation obligations, yes, I do think that it could be implemented. People are like, well, if you're getting less revenue, how are you going to run the government? Like, you're not going to run the fucking government. You're going to cut the government. You're going to get rid of the government, okay? So yeah, you would be like less, like you could end the drug war, you know? Maybe you could save a few billion, $100 billion that way, you know? Maybe we could stop, you know, killing people in the Middle East, you know? Maybe we could save some money over there. Yeah, so we could cut budgets. Yes, you could realistically do it. It would require a majoritarian legislature and a sweep of the White House. What do I feel is the most just way for government to generate revenue? Lottery. It's voluntary. There you go, guys.
Lottery's a good idea. I never thought about that.
Yeah. They raise millions of dollars.
I think consumption tax.
Sales tax.
Sales taxes, yeah.
Probably the most moral way to really do it, because when you go to buy like a Chinese good, for example, like there's a port, right? You got to bring it into the port, and you got to pay for that, right? So you're going to have to pay a tax somewhere, meaning that even if the government didn't run the ports, which they mostly do control, like New Jersey Port Authority's example, if the government didn't control the port and a private corporation controlled the port, or corporations got together to conglomerate to run a port, they would charge you a port fee. A fee. It would be a fee. It would be like essentially a tax. So that's what a consumption fee is. If you're going to buy a product from China, you're going to have to pay a port fee in order to, you know, have somebody offload the cargo to get that to the, you know, get that product to you. I think it'd probably be lower if it was run by private corporations. What's your
you want to say? So a tariff?
It's not a tariff. No, a tariff.
Kind of sounds like a tariff.
No, it's not a tariff. A tariff is a tax on foreign goods.
Right.
Placed by the government. But a consumption tax is a voluntary tax because you don't have to pay, you don't have to buy anything.
You would have to purchase the fee though, right?
You'd have to pay for the fee no matter what. It's either going to go to the government or it's going to go to a private corporation, because you have to pay to, it costs money for the labor to get that product from China to the United States. Okay? Ryan?
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah.
Moving on.
Okay. Elena Catherine wants to know, if Rand Paul doesn't get the nomination, who is the next candidate you would choose to run the nation?
Boy, that is a tough
Jay-Z.
Question. Jay-Z and Beyonce. She put run in quotes, which is hilarious because she's getting the joke there that, you know, we don't want a president who runs the nation. We don't want a president to run anything. Just kind of like, you know, leave us the hell alone would be nice. I like Carly Fiorina, but I don't know a whole lot about her. She seems to me to be the most like sane free market individual that's running.
But I thought you said all women are psychotic.
Well, yeah, that's true. But you know, I like her brand of crazy. You know what I mean? Like, you got to deal with crazy on some level. You know, we're not going to eliminate all women. So since we have to deal with you, I'll take the least crazy or the kind of crazy that I can deal with. Way to call me out there, by the way.
That's what I'm here for.
Yeah, so maybe Carly Fiorina. You know, some people are like, well, what about Ted Cruz? Well, But he's still, I'm still mad at Ted.
I like Ted.
I know, but I think he, here's my problem with Ted. I feel like Ted is an opportunist, and that if he got in power, he would turn into like a hardcore neocon. I think that Ted, if he got into power, he would turn into like a big government Republican. I don't trust him, to be honest.
Right. Yeah, I see that potential. I used to like Cruz. I still kind of do. Yeah. But when he didn't support Rand...
On the NSA,
yeah. That soured me on him.
Yeah.
So I think Cruz is sort of the safe kind of hipster choice for establishment GOP.
Yeah.
And so I can definitely see where you're coming from when you say, you know, his neocon transformation once he's elected.
Okay. Selfie 6.
Yes or no?
This is from Ryan Carrillo. Oh, he's right here. Oh. Ryan, selfie sticks? You, why don't you answer your own question first, bitch?
this is why I asked it.
How do you feel about that? You just want to talk to us about selfie sticks? Do it.
Not really.
Get it all out. Yeah, but why'd you ask? Come on.
I just wanted to know, does it look stupid if you use selfie stick?
Well, yeah, it looks stupid, but... What? What, Laura?
Where do you keep the selfie stick? Do you keep it in your purse?
I think it goes like it.
Because you know what I just foresee happening is groups of friends buying this damn selfie stick, and then the girl with the purse like, oh, can you carry this for us while we walk around and hang out? And then when we're in the club and we want to take a picture, then you can take the selfie stick.
Misogyny! Oh, gosh.
Yep.
Do you think women are self-absorbed or something? All right, Christopher Ranney is the last question.
Why? And I have an answer.
Why ask why? But dry.
Because.
Ryan, why?
That's a deep, deep question. Yes. And we're not going to have enough time to answer it on the
show. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to Freedom Report Podcast.
The glass is half full.
This glass
also.
Is...
Also.
Right. Or maybe the realist says this glass is actually full of piss. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to Freedom Report Podcast. Your host, Austin Peterson. Really appreciate you guys listening in. I hope you enjoyed Ryan coming sitting in the last few shows. Yay!
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you're welcome. All right, so don't forget, subscribe to us on iTunes. Leave us a 5-star review. You know you like us. You know you want us. Subscribe to us on iTunes or Stitcher. And if you really love the Libertarian Republic and you hate the ads, don't forget, go and sign up. Give us $5 a month and no more ads. Show us you love us. Give us some jobs. Give us some germs before Donald Trump takes them away. But don't forget, come back every single day to your home for economic freedom and personal liberty at thelibertarianrepublic.com.